Well, last week, if you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, we've been talking about some of the ministry gifts. Now, these are things that God calls people to, some. We're talking right now about the fivefold gifts, and we've kind of went over a overview the first time, and I thought, well, Lord, we really didn't go too far, did we? We just kind of touched on them and what they are, and that's good. But how many know last week we went into the apostle, hallelujah, and we really begin to see that Jesus, of course, stands out as the great apostle. You know, Hebrews, 11? Anyway, let's go here in Ephesians. Let's read this first, and then I'll get into that. But over in Hebrews, where he is the apostle and high priest of our confession. But here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, the Bible says, "Wherefore he saith, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." Now, verse 11 says, "And he gave some apostles." Some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists. Not all, but some. Amen? And some pastors and teachers. So some are pastors, some teachers, for the perfecting of the saints. There was a reason. He said, "I placed some people in the body and my anointing upon them that they can function in a certain way." And I want us to remember this morning that these are functions and not necessarily titles. They're not a title that somebody gets and then that makes them great. It's a function in which they do and perform. Such as if you go to your job, they may call you something, right? But it is the function that they want. They want you to do what that kind of person does. If you're a mechanic, they don't want you to go over and mess with the electricity. They want you to function in what you have been called to do and what your function is. And they say, "Oh, well, what is he? He's a mechanic." They call him mechanic. "Hey, this is Mechanic Mike," but we would say that's his what? But we don't just stand there and say, "Oh, well, isn't that great? That's a great title." No, we look at the function. Can he fix my car, right? We would look and see what is functioning through the man. Oh, he's got a grace. He may have a gift. What do they call that? Maybe he's mechanically inclined, as they say. Right? Or maybe he's been trained in that area. Praise the Lord. And so there's different functions even within these gifts. You know, people can be, you know, especially we've been talking about the apostle, the sent one, right? Or it could be a messenger. You know, is another definition of that. But somebody that's called with a specific message or to a specific place. Hallelujah. For a specific purpose. And usually they go and God says, "Hey, I want you to establish something here." And a lot of times they go to places where no one's been before or maybe some difficult places. And they start setting up some churches and turn it over to some other people or train some people for a while and turn that over to a pastor. You know, maybe start a church or a ministry, and they get things rolling, and they move on to something else. You know, one today I'm thinking of that I believe is so is probably somebody like David Hogan. I mean, he's just looking for where the devil is to chase him out and get things rolling. Praise God and set some things up. I mean, I'm telling you, he's a mover and a shaker and gets that established, and then, oh, you could take this over. And they don't mind moving on to something else. And so we've been seeing this in the ministry of the apostle, but all of these gifts are number one, the number one function is that they're a teacher or a preacher, or a teacher or a preacher and a teacher, both, right? Proclaiming the gospel and then explaining the word of God to people, amen? And that is the primary function of every call of God in these five gifts. Why? Because it's for the perfecting of the saints, or the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. And it says here, till we all come in the unity of the faith. Ooh, glory to God. Isn't that wonderful? We need, how many know we need the unity of the faith? Or into, you know, we come in unity or into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. How many know there's a key of knowledge? You know, knowledge is important, but knowledge that's not acted upon is useless, isn't it? Woo! You know, we can know what to do, but if we don't do it, we never benefit from it, do we? Isn't that amazing? You know, it's kind of like if you have a job and you never show up, and you wonder why you never have a paycheck. You know, it'd be kind of like that, wouldn't it? You know, you're like, well, I don't see anything happen or changing in my life. Well, unless we apply the word of God, unless we become doers, amen, we don't receive. Now, the reason we're looking at some of these, how many know it's good to see the real? When you know what's real, then if the false shows up, it's easier to identify, isn't it? You know, if you know what's real, when you've experienced that, how many experience God? You have sensed Him. You've been born again. You have that no-so experience on the inside. There's no question to you. I'm born again. I know Jesus, and I have received Him. I have come in contact with the true and the living God. How many know nobody? Not me, not anybody, nobody on the earth. They can't take it from you. They cannot drive it out of you. They cannot beat it out of you. You have something that no man can ever take away. You have eternal life that moved down on the inside. Amen. And these gifts, now some people, some, obviously not all, are called to function in these offices or in these places. So, until we come to the unity of the faith, to a perfect man or a mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, we had said that this isn't just a natural call. You don't just decide, I'm going to be a pastor, I'm going to be an evangelist, do we? It is a call that God brings as far as the fivefold ministry gifts. Now, how many know we all have gifts? We all are supposed to talk to people about Jesus, right? What do we have here? Each one, reach one. We all have that opportunity every day. There's people all around us. Hallelujah. And I know, she's always telling me somebody, Laura here, she's telling me somebody she's working on, or she's got somebody in the fires, you know. Pray for my friend so I'm working, you know. God's working. Amen. Hallelujah. And we can all reach something. You know, and I know we have, and we can believe God. We're believing God for what? Divine appointments, for divine intervention, for God to guide our steps. We're believing. We're keeping our what? Our heart open to our spirit man. Why? Because number one, you're a spirit being, right? How many here have been born again? You've received Jesus into your life, and your spirit was changed. The Bible says, you know, a lot of times we're more, what, body conscious, and we're more, you know, conscious of our mind and what we think than we really are of our spirit, right? That's why we're saying, hey, while you're driving around, pray in tongues. While you're getting dressed, spend time praying in other tongues as much as you possibly can. Pray in other tongues. Why? Because it gets your spirit man activated, and you become more aware of your spirit than we do of this natural body. And as we're moving into these end days, it's going to be absolutely imperative that we follow after the spirit and not after the flesh. How many want to follow after your spirit? Hallelujah. And fulfill the place that God's got you. So we said it was for the perfecting the saints, the work of the ministry, the edifying what of the body. And then over in 1 Corinthians, back up a little bit, chapter 12. And I'm going to read 27 and 28. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has set some in the church. Here he says, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles, gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Hallelujah. Now are all apostles? Of course not. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? Yes, for your personal edification, but not necessarily in a church setting. Do all interpret? Of course, no. Not immediate. Not in the church. He's talking about the difference here in the church setting. Amen. Hallelujah. About gifts operating in the body. Hallelujah. Now your own personal self, yes, we can all. Anyone that wants to can pray in tongues as much as you want, as long as you want, anytime you want, right? Amen. Hallelujah. For your own personal edification and building up of your own spiritual man. Why? Why do we want to spend time praying in tongues? So that we are not ruled by the outward man, so that it doesn't control us, and we begin to die to the things that affect our outer man, to our negative emotions, to the negative things around us, and we are sensitive to God Almighty, and we are being transformed into the very image and likeness of Jesus. He is our ultimate goal that we have set before Him, and the more we spend time praying in tongues, the more of our spirit is growing, the more our spirit is getting strong. So many things happen as we pray in tongues, much more than just getting strong in spirit. There are so, we're praying out His plan for our life. We are interceding for ourselves. We're letting the Holy Spirit bring forth the Father's plan that was written for your life before the foundation of the world, that God had already planned out and He had set. He said, this is the plan. Hallelujah. Thank God you got born again and you got started. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. I know some here were, boy, they're not sure if they would have been if they hadn't made the right choices. Amen. God hadn't got your steps just right. Glory to God. I mean, any of us could have been born, you know, in a Muslim country, some places mostly Hindu, right? Any of us, how many are glad you're born where the gospel's preached greatly and you had great opportunity? I'm not saying they don't have opportunity there, but it's not like it is here. Amen. Where it's free, where people proclaim Jesus and have proclaimed Jesus. And you have had that opportunity. I'm thankful, and I know many others here in North America. Amen. Those that are watching on Skype, some are from the USA. Hallelujah. We have great opportunity and great, what we call, well, we call it freedom, you know, but how many know freedom has a price? Freedom takes responsibility. Freedom has, you know, it has benefits, but it also has things that we have to do to receive them, amen? We can't just do whatever, you know, freedom doesn't mean you get to do whatever you want, right? You know, you can't just go out and rob the bank today, right? Or tomorrow, you know. And they say, oh, well, that's okay. No, we place then you're under law. You know, you get put in prison, right? Because you broke the law. And so we want to remember there are things with God. And when we work with Him, He begins to flow through us. Amen. And so some of us, some people have part of this five, you know, these callings, but everybody's called to something. Amen. You know, I mean, people say, well, I'm called to be a teacher. Well, what kind of teacher are you? See, there is a function, but it is for us to seek God. And maybe you're a Sunday school teacher. Maybe you're a school teacher. You mean God will call somebody and anoint them to be a school teacher? Sure He would. You know, he anoints doctors, lawyers, mechanics, engineers, electricians, all kinds of callings that God could have, not just in the spirit, but also in the natural. You know, each one of us has we may have a job that we do in the natural to supply our natural need, but then God has a job that we do in the spirit. How many know we're all that witness? If he calls you to be on that job forever and to be a testimony for him in the marketplace, how many know that's an honor? That's a blessing. That's wonderful. Say, hey, I'm giving my life to see people saved. And you can still. It doesn't stop you from walking in the power of God and the life of God and the anointing of heaven and all that God has given us, each and every one. Jesus will still use every one of these gifts. It is his desire. It is his plan. It was his purpose. And as we seek him, we will walk in the divine fullness of whatever it is he calls us to. You may be in the helps ministry. In other words, someone, most of the time it says those with means. You know, in other words, it was people that were able to do business and give into the gospel. Part of what God, that can be a call on our life. In other words, we're talking about supernatural help. How many would know? You know, I'll give you an example. I know one guy, he worked for these different companies. He was still working there. He wasn't even, you know, but you know what God would do? He used to do estimates for him and all this, and God would just give him a number for the bottom line. That's it. People would call for things. God gives them the number for the bottom line. You know, oh, well, what's the bottom line? Okay. He'd write all down, fill everything else out, you know, to equal the bottom line. And then he'd go to praying and reading the Word of God. He would get several. They were surprised. He would sell so many things and so many jobs and so many connections. Why? Because of divine ability. God's anointing in his life, and he would prosper and God would use him. Of course, you can't be stingy and prosper, right? Amen. Hallelujah. God doesn't bless stingy and he doesn't bless lazy. He blessed those that seek him and those that will honor him and will work with him hand in hand. Hallelujah. How many know there's a God side, but there's also our side, a manward side. Amen. We have to respond to God's call. If we never respond, we'll never fulfill. We won't fulfill it. We have to respond to him. And what is our response? Number one is we can respond. You say, well, I don't know my call. What can I do? Well, we begin right where we are. Amen. How many know there's nowhere else to begin, right? You can't begin down the road little ways. I can't, you know, I mean, I can't begin over, you know, over in Elmer if I'm living here in St. Thomas. I have to start here, wouldn't I? Even if I'm supposed to be in Elmer down here, I'm still in St. Thomas and something's going to have to happen to get me to Elmer, right? Well, the Holy Spirit happens to know if you're not in that place or you don't know that place that you need to be, that's the job of the Holy Spirit. He's been given to us to guide and to lead us into all truth, to bring about God's purposes and plans, to comfort us, to strengthen us, to stand by us, to be the one that will lead us, will teach us, and will declare to us God's purposes for our individual life. But it takes that fellowship, doesn't it? It takes that time, being willing to spend that time praying in the Holy Ghost. You know, it's not really for our mind, it's for our spirit. So, like I said, we can pray all the time. Or as much as possible, right? I mean, I don't know, you can't really pray while you're eating or brushing your teeth, but you can pray all the other times, right? Hallelujah. Amen. And, you know, when you walk your dog, you can pray. When you're doing the laundry or you're doing the dishes, right, ladies? Or getting the dishwasher filled or mopping the floor, working around the house. Amen. Or if you have an easy job, you might be able to pray quietly. I'm not talking about praying loud and being obnoxious and drawing attention to yourself, but quiet, so quietly that no one even really knows you're praying. but you're staying in tune with your spiritual man and building it up day after day after day after day after day. Not by what I feel, but by what I know, what God's word said, that I'm not praying to man, but I'm praying unto God. And I am speaking the mysteries of heaven. Hallelujah. Not to God, but for myself, for my life, for the ministry that he's called me to do, for the job he's called me unto, and the very perfect will of God for me or for you. Amen. We have that opportunity. Woo! Boy, I'm on prayer today, I know, but praise the Lord. I got my phone today, so I'll be able to tell what time it is for sure. Because what happens is I don't know, when it gets up there by the top, all the lights are in a certain thing, and it's very difficult to tell exactly where the hands are. Maybe I could move over a little bit there, maybe get, I'm not sure. But the way the lights get on there, you know. So anyway, but I've got the time right here today, so don't worry. We won't be too much longer, I hope. Anyway, you know, and so really, these ministry gifts help us, help the body of Christ to be equipped, right? Why? So that we can do the work of the ministry. We're strengthened, we are built up, and we have abilities that are imparted to us through the knowledge of God. And then when we become doers of these things, then what happens? God goes into motion. He can help us. He will bring us to that place. And he flows through each and every one of us. Hallelujah. And the world begins, you know, the church begins to move in sync, in unity, in a body, in a way in which is, you know, we become a highly effective oiled harvesting machine. Amen. Hallelujah. And we grow up in him and we become sons and daughters of God, where we're not just children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, but we begin to have a firm foundation on which we build our life in understanding and knowledge of who we are, that he created us to be a spiritual person, number one. And we get in contact with God, what? Through our spirit. It's not through, really through our mind or through our body, is it? We contact one another, you know, we have intellect and we talk with our mind and, you know, we use that. But with God, he communicates, we communicate to him spirit to spirit, don't we? You know, he is a spirit. The Bible said God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him how? In spirit and in truth. We need to be more and more aware of our spiritual man and recognize, you know, and begin to see the divine calls or the functions that are on people's life. Amen? When we see those, then we know. We had said that the apostle is a messenger, a sent one, or a commissioned one, right? And when we look, you know, when we look at the Apostle Paul today, I want to get there. Let's go to Acts chapter 3 for a minute. Because how many know that the Apostle Paul didn't just set out as an apostle? Or Saul, really, at first. Saul and Barnabas, they came. And what's very interesting about that, Acts chapter 13, because God, how many know God calls? God calls, but how many know sometimes, you see, when God calls, you know, there may be men that recognize that call. The man doesn't call us and he doesn't really send us, God does. So if it's not already, it was already in the heart of Paul and Barnabas. They already knew God was calling them. At this time here, they were already, they had already been in the ministry almost 17 years, Paul. And he had been, you know, he was like a, we would say a, I believe he was probably a prophet and a teacher. You know, the reason I say that, because usually the prophet has a lot of revelation. And Paul would have revelations from God, didn't he? He wrote much of the New Testament. Now Barnabas, we don't have that on there. He was probably a teacher. But here it says here now in chapter 13 of Acts, Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain men, prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius, and Cyrene and Manon, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. So here we have those that are here. It says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted, they laid their hands on them, and they sent them away. Now notice here, it says, it didn't say for the work that I'm calling them to, but for the work that I have, what? Whereunto I have called them, past tense. God had already called them, and man was just acknowledging and saw the function that was taking place in their lives and the place that God was bringing them to, that they would be sent out as apostles into the kingdom of God. And then, of course, right after that, they moved into their ministry. Well, you say, well, how do you know they were apostles? Well, I think it's verse 22, I hope. Over in Acts chapter 14, I believe it's 20, let me see. Acts 14, oh yeah, okay, here it is, 14:14, says, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard, they rent their clothes and ran among the people crying out. See, the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, so that we know that they were sent out as what? Apostles. They were sent out 13, and here it says the apostles, Barnabas and Paul. Okay, hallelujah. So they went forward, and we can see that call was on their life. Now, they didn't start out, you know, as a mighty apostle. They were faithful. Matter of fact, Paul, remember when he first preached, he got kind of in trouble there. I don't know what he said exactly, but they were wanting to kill him. You know, maybe he told them, hey, all y'all killed Jesus. I don't know. All y'all. That's slang. That's southern for all of you. We're responsible for Jesus' murder, you know. I don't know that's what he said, but anyway, either way, he gave his testimony, and they were upset, and they're going to kill him, and so they let him down over the basket, and he said, now, Paul, you're a great man, you've got great zeal, but go home for a little bit. Go back home, and we'll talk to you later, you know, and so they sent him back, and you know, Paul went to, he began to pray, he began to seek heaven, right? And he gained much revelation, much understanding of the Word of God. So, hallelujah. And there's a progression here. These five men who were either prophets or teachers, and they knew of Paul's revelation knowledge and began to send them out. They separated them. They then laid hands on them. They weren't laying hands on them to call them into the ministry. They were laying hands on them to separate to the ministry that they were already called to. Nobody can lay hands on you and call you into the ministry. It doesn't work that way. Amen. How many know that? It's a divine call. If you don't know it, just wait. You know. So he says, oh, well, God's called you to Africa. Or God's called you to Hawaii. Oh, hallelujah, amen. But you know, wherever it may be, God's called you here or there or somewhere else, and you don't know it yet, then you need to just let it alone and pray and seek God. Wait on His call. Wait on His time. Wait on when He tells you. Because if you don't know, I promise you it's going to be difficult. Or if you do go, you might want to take that person with you because you won't know when to get home. You won't know when to come back, will you? Amen. Say, well, I didn't hear the call, so you couldn't hear when to come home. But if we continue to seek Him, how many know? He calls. He separates. When it's Him, when He does that work, He may draw you. You know, we have people from other nations here. Praise the Lord. You know, God's leading them. God's led them all over. And praise the Lord, they're here now. Glory to God. So sometimes God may use people to confirm the call that a person already has in his own spirit. If it's not already in you, it's not in your heart, then you're probably not called to it. People can't, like I said, they can't set you apart with their own on their own. Hallelujah. And I want to say this, that in all of these callings, the first thing that you should see, they should be a preacher or a teacher or both. You know, they proclaim the gospel or they explain the word of God, or they proclaim the gospel and explain the word of God. Amen. That's the first and primary function of every gift. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, any of those things. They are first the preacher of the gospel or teacher of the word of God or both. Amen. And we know that in the apostle, there are certain things that take place in a true apostle. 2 Corinthians 12:12 speaks of certain, how many know? Here we go. We'll just go to 2 Corinthians 12. Get my two books mixed up there for a second. Praise the Lord, we're on track. 12:12. It says, truly, the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience. In what? In signs and wonders and mighty deeds. So a true apostle is going to have some signs, some wonders, and a mighty deeds. How many ever read where the handkerchiefs left the apostle Paul? And it says special miracles were wrought through his life, by God, through his life and ministry. None of us, how many know the apostle Paul didn't do any miracles himself? He allowed the Holy Spirit, what, flowing through us. So each one of us can operate in power. But usually in the apostle, a lot of times, here, you know, it's showing, it says, hey, there are some mighty signs, some extra special miracles that took place. And a lot of times, most of the time, like the apostle Paul, how many know, he had a very deep and supernatural experience with God in his calling. When he got born again, how many know? Jesus appeared to him. He saw him. It was quite spectacular, wasn't it? And sometimes we'll see that, and oftentimes, not always, or usually they have a very deep personal relationship with God at least. Amen? Because there is a great need, and they're going a lot of times into places where no one's gone before. Apostles are starters. They get out there and plow up the ground, and you know, they just want to get where nobody, that's what Paul would say. Man, I want to get where they haven't heard yet. I don't want all these people that get that. I'm going to set a foundation in them, bless God, and get them started on the right foot, get them born again. And that's what we see in the apostle Paul's life, don't we? He had that vision of Jesus and had great revelation from God. Hallelujah. And so how many know that he said, I've received of the Lord that which also was delivered unto you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, he said, he didn't get his own knowledge. He got it from the Lord. Amen. How many know Paul received those divine revelations? He got, you know, he understood what even the communion. Remember when he talked about that? He said, this I've received of the Lord the same night in which he took bread. In other words, Jesus himself had come and talked with him and taught him. And many times that is the case with many of these people. I know someone like, you know, in our days not too long ago. Well, it's been a little while, but you know, Lester Summerall, I believe, you know, he operated a lot in that way. He was an apostle and set up many ministries and did many things around the world and traveled around the world. and some spectacular things did take place. So praise the Lord. But how many know, even though there are real apostles, even in the New Testament, they had false apostles, didn't they? So, you know, everybody read in there in the Bible where they had some of these false apostles that wanted to, what, come into the church, creep into the church? False apostle in the early church. So, you know, they had some. How many think there would be a few today? You know, where they're motives aren't right. Well, that could be in any calling of God, but we see it there. You know, Satan counterfeits, though, what is real. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11 for a minute. We're there. And verse 13 says this, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." And so here he's saying, hey, there were false apostles that came in there, and they were not doing so great. One simple way to distinguish a false apostle and a true apostle plants and establishes new work on sound biblical foundation of the Word of God. They do it with proper doctrine, truth, and a foundation on the Word. And a false apostle tears up the works with division, strife, and wrong teaching. So that would be easy to see, wouldn't it? That would be one sure thing. Hallelujah. So we want to remember Philippians. Let's go to Philippians chapter 1 for a minute. Philippians 1. Hallelujah. We're getting through today. Praise the Lord. But I wanted to talk a little bit more. I think it's important, you know, we understand when we see the real, it's a lot easier to identify those that are not real, amen. But Philippians 1:15 says, "Some indeed preach Christ," what? "Even of envy and strife," and there you go. "And some of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel." And there we can see that there can be times when people come with what? Division and strife and false teachings, wanting to try to destroy what God has set in order. These are false apostles. And they're not, you know, of course they don't come in saying, "I'm a false apostle," do they? Amen. How many know the Bible says they come in what? Sheep's and wolves' clothing, right? Acting like they know what they're doing. And Lindsay Gordon said this. He says, a lot of times you'll find them usurping the office of the apostle. And what that means is to take a position of power or importance illegally or by force. In other words, they're coming in. If they come in here, if someone wants to come in, say, "Oh, well, I'm an apostle, and you're just a pastor. I want you to submit to me." And everybody says, "That's never happened," but it has happened. But it's not going to happen here. Because that apostle is not somebody, it is not a rank, it is not a special call. It is a special calling in the sense that God called them, but they're not higher than someone else. They're not greater than another. We're all called and we're all equal. I don't care if you have a calling in the fivefold or not. You're still equal in the kingdom. When it comes to the cross, you know, in our natural being, we're not all equal, but at the cross we are. Now we all have different functions in the body. And so there are times when, yeah, hey, it looks like they're more special than someone else. No, it's just their function. And if you rebel against God, it could cause consequences. You say, "Well, what do you mean? Take a look at Moses." Anybody ever heard of a man named Moses? How many know God called him, right? And some of his people, even his own sister, were saying, hey, who put you in charge? And what was Moses' answer pretty much? God put me in charge. God had put him in charge, and they were trying to, what, usurp his authority and be a part, and they found out that's not going to work. God doesn't put up with it. God does not accept it. And so we have to remember that one of the greatest things, you know, in the early church, they would take note of those apostles, wouldn't they? Right? And they tried them, they'd test them and see what they are and find them to be liars, expose them. Why? So that they could not lead sheep astray, other people. How many know that's important? And as a shepherd here, it is my responsibility to be sure that God brings sound doctrine, right? If something gets said or messed up, we'll correct it. We'll get it straight. You know, sometimes you have people in and they say things that may not be right, but that's just the way, you know, we have to correct some things, but we can get it straight. We've got the Word of God. We will go forward. Amen. And so we're not going to allow certain things. I remember, I think it was Rick Renner, you know, he had his church in Russia, and he was having some problems as far as being running the paper and so forth. And some people came in and they said, oh, we've got this great new anointing that's in our lives, and we really want to minister by the Spirit and really help this church. And he said, well, not right now. He said, right now I just need you to teach. And there was a reason for it. Because they were under great scrutiny, and there was a lot of things being written about them in the paper, and the last thing they needed was another, you know, write-up or things of that nature. And he asked them, not right now. Not that they wouldn't have been invited back to probably do those things. And he said, no, I just would like you to teach right now. And they, you know, came up and they began, you know, and looked like everything's going to be fine. However, I'm going to say, now who knows that we want to obey the Holy Spirit? Well, he's the pastor there. Yeah, of course. How many know you want everybody to obey the Holy Spirit, right? You know, we should obey God. And so they begin to move and wanting to move in the realm that they had learned and were moving toward. And he said, I had to make a decision. I'm the pastor of this church. And he said, I'd ask them specifically not to do this. And he, you know, it's not that easy. He said, it's not easy. It's not something you want to do. They had planned 5 meetings. This is the first meeting. But you know, he said, I got up and I said, folks, I'm really sorry, but I've asked these people not to do this in our congregation, in our church at this time. And they have not listened, and I'm going to ask them to sit down, and I'm sorry, but all the meetings are canceled. And you think everybody would be upset and so forth? No, they felt safe. Why? Because the shepherd was on guard and knew what God had said and the direction that their local congregation was to go. And he was in charge. And he had to say, I'm sorry, but these folks will not be ministering. It's just the way it is. I'd asked them not to, and they had not listened. And so I'm going to have to ask them, you know, close the meetings, and we'll see what happens to the future. Hallelujah. You know, I mean, so a lot of times, you know, it's something that's very important. We want to remain stable and fixed with solid foundation on the Word of God. And we want to remember that there are functions in the body of Christ. And but the true apostle will, what? He's going to include and be, and we'll see what? The fruit of the Spirit in his life. Number one. How many know that should be all the gifts, right? We want to see the fruits of the Spirit operating in love, joy, peace, right? Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. You know, the Bible says we're not to be brawlers. We're not to be, you know, if someone wants a position or a place or God places them in authority, we have things over there in 1 Timothy 3, right? And we can read and we can see the husband of what? One wife. Not one wife and three girlfriends, right? Amen. You know, he's not a alcoholic. He's not a brawler. He's not somebody that beats somebody or wants to set fights or argue over certain things. Amen. It bothers me when I see men in positions of authority and they start yelling at the sound man who's trying to fix the sound as though he's not trying to do his job. I think that's ridiculous, don't you? I mean, it's just not called for. Yet I've seen it happen. Or someone that is, you know, trying to correct someone, you know, when it's not the time. We need to know that they're walking in the fruit of the Spirit. Number two will be, it'll be displayed by a concern for the building up of the body of Christ, not the tearing down with unscriptural or ungodly teachings. Thirdly, first they're going to show their apostleship ministry, what? By humility, what they do. Not by declaring, I am this or I am that, but they allow their function to show forth and with all humility and humbleness of heart. Amen. It's revealed the ministry by the works rather than by the public proclamation of the office, and that should be for any office or anything God calls us to. Amen. We should be working at it unto the Lord. Why are we so caught up? It's not a title. It is a function. It's something that you do. You know, it may be what we call you, and in a sense, that's a title. But it's not a title to make you something. The function is what makes you what you are. And when it functions, then if people see that, then they may call you that. But you don't need to announce. How many know you don't need to announce, hey, I'm a mechanic, and you already see him in the garage fixing cars. You don't go up there and say, oh, I see you're a mechanic. No, you know they're a mechanic. Why? Because of what they're doing. Because they're doing repair on cars. Hallelujah. You don't go up and say, oh, you must be an electrician. You're up here on the wires, you know. You know they're an electrician, right? Because of their function and what they're doing. And people will recognize it and realize that. So, you know, sometimes there's misunderstandings and some think that it's an elevation or something of that kind. They're being elevated, but an apostle really is an under rower. He's the one that's at the bottom of the ship. And he is rowing. He is chained to the, that's what an under rower is. He's at the bottom of that ship and they would row the oars to the beat of the drum and they could not just do what they wanted, but they had to listen. And we don't just get to do what we want in any office, but we become servants and under rowers and bond servants to the Lord on purpose because we choose to. And we see that a lot of times the apostle labors to edify the whole body. He doesn't have a covetous spirit or a seeker after financial gain. But he desires that all men and all ministries that we come to the unity of the faith. Amen. So it's not above other ministry gifts. But it is a function in the body. And we can't say that it's greater than any other gift, that's it, than the helps minister who brings the finance, right? Or in the helps, you know, or someone that's in a helps ministry as far as the church. Maybe they're the secretary or they're the one that runs the sound. Aren't they important? Just as important? I mean, if it's not magnified, guess what? Nobody can hear you. If the sound's not working, right? Amen. Well, I mean, they could maybe if I could get my lungs good enough and like they used to, but it only goes so far. But when we get now today, we of course we have the internet. We can go around the world. So, and also we want to remember that Paul was not afraid. In the Bible, we see in Galatians chapter 1, verse 18, and chapter 2, verse 1, that Paul conferred with those who were apostles before him. Even though he had been in the ministry, even though he knew God, even though he gained revelation, he said, I want to confer with you and make sure I'm teaching the right things. What do you guys think? In other words, he was not so high-minded that he had it all. But he believed in submitting his revelation to other men of reputation in which he preached. And so he became an outstanding apostle. Amen. How many know that it is good? It doesn't hurt to check with other people. What do you think? How do you see? Do you see this gift operate? I feel like this is what the Lord has showed me. But sometimes, how many know? You know, somebody gets a revelation. Well, I'm sorry, I can't accept. It's not really in the Bible. I know, but I got this revelation from God. And they won't give in. Well, that's not a teachable, humble heart, is it? It's not really presenting it to the Lord or to others to be judged. How many know the Bible says, hey, if the prophet speaks, right, or if you prophesy, it can be judged by those that stand by. Well, is that right or not? Was that scripture? No. Well, yes, it was, or maybe it wasn't, you know. And so we have the right not to judge the person, but to judge what they say, amen, to judge that teaching and to judge what's going on. And that's one reason that James said, what, the teacher or the preacher has a stricter responsibility, a stricter judgment from God. Amen. Hallelujah. But that, I hope that helps. I hope you can see some of the things and characteristics that you would see in the apostle or in any ministry gift. These things begin to come forward, that they are humble people, that they may have revelation from God and they have power from God, but they're willing to submit themselves to the scrutiny sometimes of their peers or other people that have had experience as well. And say, hey, what do you think? Because a lot of times when we get revelation, how many know we think we're the only one, but we're not. You know, God does show other people things, you know, and they can witness in their spirit and check it with the Word of God, and we can move forward. Amen. Praise the Lord. How many are thankful for great men and women of God who bring and preach and teach the Word? I am. I'm thankful for the mighty apostle. Amen. Praise God. They help keep us on track. We talked about last time, there's no new revelation as far as the Word of God, but sometimes there are things that need to be stressed, amen, in the body of Christ. And a lot of times they'll receive that call, like Kenneth Hagin received what? The call to teach faith. Brother Dave Robertson, he preaches what? On the importance of following after the Holy Spirit, spending time praying in other tongues. Why? Because some of these things sometimes wane in the body, and we need to bring a new emphasis to those things. Amen. Hallelujah. It's not a new revelation. How many know that grace was in the Bible all along? Yet Martin Luther, you know, received that divine call to minister and to preach the grace that, hey, you're saved by grace through faith. Not of yourselves, amen. It's the gift of God. And we take that for granted, but that was very important at that time in history. And so we can thank God for the things God has given us, amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you that you will put it deep in our hearts, Lord. We want to see the truth, and we want to experience the fullness of some of these gifts in our day and in our age, Father, so that we receive edifying of the body of Christ, that we're built up and we don't stay just a baby, Lord, but we mature in you further and further, Lord, for the edifying and the building up and the unity of the body of Christ, Father. We thank you and we praise you for it in Jesus' mighty name, Lord. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Anna mahalo kebrebo basi atelebrimbo glengal manzunge. Anna neko telebevro ba dungle he aizimo me indo uta ate. For your calling and your gifts shall come forth as you seek after me. You'll begin to rise up and you'll shout with glee. Oh, look what the Lord has showed and what the Lord has directed me to do. I'm so happy I found that place, Lord, that place in you. Oh, Father, I'm so grateful. I'm so glad I continue to pray, because as I did, you made it known unto me. Oh, and now I just want to dance with glee, for there's a grace and there's an anointing that I sense in my life, and I'm so fulfilled to take my place and to walk with you with no strife, but to walk with humility and the peace of mind that you give, and the grace to fulfill and the grace to give. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's called simple prophecy. Just an edification, amen, exhortation, a comfort from heaven. Oh, hallelujah. It's not in my notes. It doesn't say, now prophesy. How many know you don't make those things happen, but God comes and we're thankful. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, that we'll continue to seek you. We'll continue to search you out, Lord. We'll find our place and we'll do our best, Father, to fulfill it and to walk in it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah.